It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as a returning guest, Tara Patricia, and our topic is going to be You're Not Changing, You're Becoming. Before getting started with that, I want to explain that Tara holds a master's degree in psychology with 5 years of advanced postgraduate studies in both clinical and neuropsychology. She's also a certified life coach, and she's an international writer and speaker in the field of self-transformation. And, anybody who is going to miss this show, please let them know that the archive shows are at synergyconnectionradio.com. There's actually 11 pages of shows at this point there, and so you can scroll through and maybe find different topics that would be of interest to you. There's also a link to Boomers Forever Young, and the products there are certainly ones that can help you maintain that physical health that everybody is looking for right now as we continue to face the ravages of COVID-19. So as we start this morning's program, we're actually going to read something that was created by Neil Donald Walsh. And we're taking separate roles. And so Tara is going to begin her part as God. And God is having a conversation with me at this point and helping me understand who I am becoming.
Hello.
I'm falling apart. Can you put me back together?
I'd rather not.
Why?
Because you're not a puzzle.
What about all the pieces of my life that fall to the ground?
Leave them there for a while. They fell for a reason. Let them be there for a while, and then decide if you need to take any of those pieces back.
You don't understand. I'm breaking.
No, you don't understand. You're transcending, evolving. What you feel are growing pains. You're getting rid of the things and the people in your life that are holding you back. The pieces are not falling down. The pieces are being put in place. Relax, take a deep breath, and let those things you no longer need fall down. Stop clinging to the pieces that are no longer for you. Let them fall. Let them go.
Once I start doing that, what will I have left?
Only the best pieces of yourself.
I'm afraid to change.
I keep telling you, you're not changing. You're becoming.
Becoming who?
Becoming who I created you to be. The person of light, love, charity, hope, courage, joy, mercy, grace, and compassion. I made you for so much more than those shallow pieces you've decided to adorn yourself with and that you cling to with so much greed and fear. Let those fall off you. I love you. Don't change. Become. Don't change. Become. Become who I want you to be, who I created. I'm going to keep telling you until you remember.
There goes another piece.
Yes, let it be like this.
So, I'm not broken?
No, but you're breaking the darkness like dawn. It is a new day. Become. Become who you really are.
So, I absolutely love that because I think it reflects where a lot of us are today. You know, we are giving up things that are no longer serving us.
Sure.
It might be situations. It could be people. It could be jobs. It could be dietary habits. You know, it's going to evolve the person into something that they haven't been before. And I think this whole, I believe Neil Diamond Walsh, you know, he just caught it. He caught it exactly as it was supposed to be.
Well, what strikes me about it is I love how it's changing. God is trying to change the mindset of the person he's speaking with.
Exactly.
He's saying, because we always come from such lack.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come from lack and fear, we see it as I'm breaking, I'm falling apart, I'm mm-hmm. losing all of this stuff that I've tried so hard and so long to keep. I mm-hmm. mean, this is me. Oh my God, I'm breaking, I'm falling apart. And God's like, no, my child, you are not. You are letting go. You're shedding.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the snake. Mm-hmm. You're shedding the skin that's no longer serving you. Mm-hmm. Let that be. What if, imagine a children's book
mm-hmm.
where the snake is shedding its skin and all of a sudden it starts freaking out. Oh my God, what's happening? I'm losing myself,
right,
you know? And right. we just kind of sit here and giggle and say, no, you're not losing yourself. You're becoming. Well, it's the same thing that's happening to us.
Right, right.
And I love that. I love what it's doing is it's saying, no longer need to go from lack. You can go from fullness because that's what you are. You are fullness. So let's look at this. Let's look at you're full. You're that marble. You know, you're what Michelangelo is working on. I'm God. Yeah. I'm better than Michelangelo. You
right.
know, let me work on you. And I
right.
love that it's changing the mindset from lack to fullness.
To fullness, right.
I love that.
Yeah. I've actually found that on Facebook of
oh,
all
cool.
places. And a person that I know had put it up, and I read it and I thought that is so perfect for where we are right now
mm-hmm.
and what we are all becoming. I know people that have died, and I know that people that have died, not just of COVID-19, because I don't know anyone who's died of that,
mm-hmm.
but over the years that have passed away, and at the very end of their life, of course, they can't take anything with them. And so all the things, the accolades, the titles, the degrees, the things that they purchased, none of it makes any difference. At the end of your life, you move on into that spiritual realm with just your soul and probably all the beautiful memories, hopefully, that you had of your lifetime.
Yeah,
so,
when my mother passed away almost 3 years ago, that hit me harder than anything. Was the next morning, when it first happened, I went over and my immediate attention was to my father and my brother and how do we take care of the here and now of
mm-hmm.
her body and everything like that. But the next day when we were kind of into the, okay, now we move forward, how do we handle all the plans we have to do and everything, I opened up her day planner because, yes, my mom was old school and she had a day planner.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it up and I saw the month and I was like, these are all the things that she was supposed to do. This was all the stuff that was going to happen for her next.
Right.
And it's all gone. Everything's gone. None of it matters anymore. It's all voided out, And all of the, and I looked around in her house because my mom loved things.
Okay.
She loved things. She had a big house and she loved to fill it. It was like a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And a very cozy museum. But, and she had so much around her, and I thought, this is none of all this stuff that she just attached herself. Like he said, how you adorn yourself,
mm-hmm.
that she attached herself to, and all the stress of worrying about is she going to get this deadline down or that deadline done. All of that is simply gone,
mm-hmm.
And so I really did. I was very struck with that
mm-hmm.
the day after she passed.
Right, that we worked
over.
so hard to keep it all together.
Yes.
And learning to be in the moment
mm-hmm.
is never easy. It's just not.
Well, the thing of it is, it's so easy that it's not easy.
Well, I suppose that's true.
It is. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. It's so easy that it's not easy because our minds are chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
We're modeled chaosm, or is that the word? Chaoticness, and that's where we go. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy to do in a human mind.
No, I just watched a movie about Tesla and his relationship with Edison.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those were two highly, highly creative minds.
Oh, right.
And, to be them and to think the way they thought was extremely difficult on anyone around them because they could not ever really be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They were always, light years
mm-hmm.
from there creating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way, the artists and the musicians of the world are. Their heads are totally wrapped up and around the next project, the next
mm-hmm.
musical,
mm-hmm.
the next whatever it might be. And we have that because we have jobs, you know, so we're supposed to be someplace at a certain time. We're supposed to leave at a certain time. Mm-hmm. They've got children to pick up at daycare and school and music lessons and sporting events. And so our whole lives are planned. And then when you stop planning, your mom probably had been retired for a while.
No, actually, she was retired in a sense, but she still did. She did a lot of radio shows and things like that for the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And she did her last radio show like 2 weeks before she passed.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, she still had things that she loved to do.
To do?
Yeah.
Okay.
She did it because she loved it. Uh-huh. I don't think she was paid any longer, but I think she just did it because she still loved to do it.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So it was good for her.
So as we look at what Neil wrote and apply that, you know, mm-hmm. today, that we are all becoming, what does that kind of mean to you, you know, that we are evolving and becoming?
Well, I want to piggyback off of something you just said a moment ago, and it kind of ties into the question you just had, was the whole idea of, you know, how we're planning and moving on to the next thing, and then the how that creates almost an impossibility to be in the moment. And I think that that is a dance that we kind of can learn to dance with, because there is the joy in planning things out. There is the joy in looking into the future. Mm-hmm. There is the joy of, you know, these things. I mean, I don't know if sometimes some of the things we have to do is joyous, but, you know, but there is that we are always planting seeds to our future.
Right.
And the planning or the planting of the seeds, you know. And so I think it's almost twofold. There's two sides. We're multidimensional beings. So to think that we should operate in one dimension is kind of a silly notion, you know. So I think to have the futuristic planning and the ideas and the anticipatory feelings about all of them is fabulous. But then also, when you go to do it, then that's when you're in the moment. So perhaps you're like a mother, and you're, okay, I've got piano lessons and baseball. Where are the cleats? Where's the music books? Where this? Da, 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 da. Do I have snacks? Do I have, okay, da, 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 you know, all the things you have to do. And so, yes, you're in a future mode there. Mm-hmm. But then you stop when you get into the car. Mm-hmm. And you can go, okay, now I can be present again, mm-hmm. you know? Because you can be present while you're packing the lunch and the snacks and all of that. But sometimes that's where it gets a little tough. But then when you do settle down, you could at least start in the beginning, say, okay, now I'm in the car. And whenever I'm in the car, I'm going to be present. So you can tell yourself, I'm going to start in one specific place so that when I go to that place, my whole body goes, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be present. Okay, everyone, all you guys, all your thoughts, get out of there. This is where I'm supposed to be present. Right. You know, like they say, don't ever do work in bed. Because when you go to bed, that's where you're supposed to sleep. Well, you can train your body to be present, too, even within the chaos, you mm-hmm. know?
So, well, and here's another thing with, you know, speaking about going to bed.
Yeah.
Couples, when they go to the bedroom, should be present.
Oh, 100%.
And so many times, 100%. You know, they're not.
No.
They're thinking about what they have to do tomorrow, and they're fitting in one another for 20 minutes, for 10 minutes before they go to sleep. And, you know, maybe they're making love or maybe they're just talking and maybe they're cuddling.
Right.
But, you know, that's really important to be totally present at that moment.
And if you think about that, what you're just talking about now, because you're talking about a relationship with another person, so being present in the here and now with that person is where we begin to connect in the heart, in the soul. It's when we step out of our minds, and that's where the real connection is.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked me the question of how do you think we go about becoming? And I think you just answered it for me, to be honest with you. It's because it's when we get out of our minds and we start being present with ourselves, and we start connecting with our own heart, with our own soul, and we begin to have that relationship where we're present, centered, and focused with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the first step on becoming, because, you know, I'm a mom of three, and mine are all now officially grown and flown, and I sat about a year ago and went, whoa, who am I?
Who am I now?
Who am I now? Because I've dedicated my life to being mom. Mm-hmm. Who is Tara? Mm-hmm. You know, And so it really is a process of getting back to know yourself when you become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I think it's the whole idea of being in the bedroom with your partner and being present focused. It's being in your own space
mm-hmm.
with your own self and mm-hmm. being present focused and listening, just like you would with a partner if you were talking about the day
mm-hmm.
and you were present focused, you would ask and then you would stop and you would listen.
Right.
And I think that's the key on becoming, is to be curious and then to observe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's the twofold there.
Mm-hmm.
Go within with curiosity and then observe how you respond to it, what you think, what you feel, and let life kind of lead you. I think that's kind of, for me, how the process of becoming occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like how God was saying, don't freak out when things fall down.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're not meant for you right now. It doesn't mean they won't come back,
right.
But it might mean that they don't. But right now, don't freak about it.
Right. And it's, gosh, it's a lot like, have you ever hung wallpaper?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I grew up, I was a kid in the 70s. I know about hanging wallpaper.
Okay, and when it doesn't quite stay where it's supposed to.
Oh, no, it's miserable.
And so
yes.
That's, you know, as I was, you know, reading this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that people that are juggling too
yes.
many things and
yes.
they can't keep all the balls in the air.
And it's falling back over top of
yeah,
them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and the glue's getting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
and I had the image of a snow globe that
oh, okay.
when you it's a little off, but it's just what came to me. And when you shake the snow globe,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything gets all there's a moment where you can see nothing,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a moment where it starts to actually look pretty, all the falling,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then afterwards you have the serene, you know, whatever scenery that's inside of the snow globe,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so the story that we were reading is in the moment of the chaotic snow going all over the place when you can't see anything and you're
right.
like, what's in there? What's going on? I don't understand this, you know.
Right.
And then when you start to say, oh, wait a minute, that is falling off me for a good purpose for me right now.
Right.
That's when the snow starts looking serene as it's falling, you
mm-hmm.
know? And then afterwards is when you get the picture of when you start becoming, then you see the whole scene inside of the snow globe, you know? So that's kind of the image I got while we were reading it.
Reading it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking that, you know, people that have had health challenges,
mm.
you know, and so maybe, you know, they had a bypass surgery, or maybe
mm-hmm.
they, you know, had a hip replacement,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, so there are pieces that are going to be altered.
Absolutely.
And so then, you know, as they look at their life that was, and maybe moving into their life that will be,
mm-hmm.
it is going to be that change.
Yep, there's a new normal in town.
Mm-hmm. There is a new normal, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, here's another thing that, you know, occurred yesterday. Greg Braden, do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, Greg Braden is, he's a neuroscientist as well.
Oh, I should know who he is.
Yeah. So I'll make sure that you have some information on him. But
okay.
He's quite remarkable, and they had interviewed him the end of March,
mm-hmm.
and I just found the interview yesterday, but
mm-hmm.
they interviewed him about all the things that are changing within our world as COVID-19 has done what it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, what, 7 months into this at this point?
Unbelievable.
And, you know, it's everybody refers to it as the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the one thing that isn't being addressed very well is the fact that because of COVID-19, we are experiencing major losses that don't have anything to do with economic losses. They're emotional losses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the loss of life as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't hearing that very much. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about a whole lot of physical things, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the death of somebody or
sure.
whether it's being in the hospital or losing your job or
sure.
economic problems.
Sure. Sure.
But when you look at the freedom that we
mm-hmm.
always have had
mm-hmm.
and we no longer have,
mm-hmm.
and we're being told, you have to wear a mask in this store to come in,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you have to have social distancing, and you have to do this, and have to. So all of our freedoms that we took for granted
mm-hmm.
at this moment in time,
mm-hmm.
and maybe for the foreseeable future,
mm-hmm.
are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so how that impacts people. And again, you know, those little pieces, I'm falling apart, might be considered, you know, just looking at how it impacts you as an individual. I'm falling apart because I can't do this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see, you know, you say they're gone. And in my mind, I say, no, they've just shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't necessarily, in the way that I come to view things over, in the way I have come to view things over time, I don't necessarily see things as here and gone, you know, or coming here, gone. I just see it all as flux and flow and
like it got put back
shifting.
On the shelf for a while.
Yeah, it's just it fell off us because we didn't need it right now.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we need other things. There's a reason why, and this is not a good analogy at all, because it's not that we're being punished, but it's the only thing that popped into my silly head. And it's like, you know, sometimes there's a reason why we go into timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not being punished, so it's not really a great one, but it works. You know, there's a, you know, the old normal wasn't working.
No, it wasn't.
And it wasn't good for us. And in a core-centered space, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got so into all of it, you know, talking about you know, when you're going down a really crazy rapid type of river, there's sometimes you just got to get plucked out of it. You can't, there's no like learning how to navigate that kind of water. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to just get the big old scoop and I just got to get you up and get you out, you know? And I think we were so into all of it that we just had to unitedly have a huge change because it wasn't working. And so some things fell away, but that's what happened. They just kind of fell away. And like the story says, you can put them on later if that's what happens. And so we'll collectively decide if we're going to put them on later or not. And also individually, we can decide things
mm-hmm.
too. You know, not so much the mask and the social distancing right now, but to me, those are just kind of byproducts of
mm-hmm.
what the real things that are going on with, you know, but
so what would you see as some of the real things that are going on? Because I can see environmental, I can see social.
Sure.
There's...
Well, I mean, look at all the beauty that's come from it. And I of course have to put the caveat on there before people get upset with me. You know, there's no beauty. Well, I don't want to say that either. There's a lot of hardship that came through all of this. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you lose a loved one, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And for that loved one to not have anyone around them, I can't even imagine if that happened to one of my loved ones. You know, so I'm not downplaying or negating or invalidating any of the hardships that have
mm-hmm.
come out of this, or, you know, the increase of depression or anxieties or, you know, all of that. That's real. It's there, you know, and so I'm not taking away from any of that. However, that being said, and that being put out there, you know, there's so much that just wasn't working for us. We were getting so caught up in our routine, and this stopped our routine.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting so caught up in what we have to do, and we weren't, I mean, heck, we weren't sitting across the, we weren't sitting at dining room tables anymore to eat dinner with our families. We were running all around doing everything we had to do, you know? And so this literally stopped us, and it forced us to kind of reevaluate what's important
right.
and what matters to us. And so that's a beautiful thing, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so I see there was a lot of self-awareness that came to this
mm-hmm.
from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen there's a lot of interpersonal compassion that's come from this. Meaning that, you know, people are like, wow, you know, this was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
We're realizing how important touch is.
Right.
That
is
hug,
huge. Yeah.
That hug that we were like, no, thank you. You just stay over there. Talk to the hand. Like, you know, you say, now I'm like, oh my God, just hug me, you know? And so we're realizing, and there is an important piece to touch. Chemically, physiologically speaking, there's an important part of touch, you know?
Right. And the nursing homes are just struggling with that.
Oh, they are, you know? And we're gaining empathy for populations that we didn't think of before.
Mm-hmm.
We're being forced to think of others. Mm-hmm. Forced to think of others. And why are we being forced to think of others? Let's think about that. Because we weren't doing it naturally.
Right.
As a unit.
Right.
As a whole. I'm not saying that individuals aren't, but as a whole, we weren't.
One of the things that I'll share is when my husband was in a nursing home before mm-hmm. he died, he was there for almost 11 months. Mm-hmm. And I made sure that someone was with him for several hours every single day. Now, I was still working, so I would go after I got off work. Mm-hmm. But during the day, I wanted the impromptu visits.
Yes.
Because, number one, they were good for him.
Sure.
But number two, the nursing home never knew when somebody was going to
right.
show up.
Yeah, that's smart.
And so
smart.
They gave him better care, I feel,
mm-hmm. sure.
because they weren't sure mm-hmm. when somebody was going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so people hugged him. They brought him milkshakes. They, you know, sat with him and held his hand. They talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became, I mean, I had to put the structure there. It wasn't like if you feel up to it, stop
mm-hmm.
by.
Mm-hmm.
I literally assigned.
Stop by.
Well, yeah. No, they had their days.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't care when you go, but you have to go during
yes.
this day.
Yes, yes.
And will you commit to doing it?
Yes, yes.
And they did. Everybody for those 11 months. You know, that was their day. That was what they committed to
That's
do.
Wonderful.
And so I think that in the majority of cases, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, you know, if you're thinking of him, if you have the moment to stop by and see
mm-hmm.
her,
mm-hmm.
And people get busy
mm-hmm.
and they mean to do it, but
mm-hmm.
they don't.
And that was the beauty of this. It forced us to stop.
Yes.
You know, and I love, you know, the other piece of what you're talking about with touch. You know, and just connection and
mm-hmm.
everything that you're talking about here, because we are multidimensional. We are human beings, and I always say human is the form
mm-hmm.
and beings the formless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call my body is something I've just really started talking a lot about lately, actually, just on social media and with my clients. I call it our physical apparatus, you know, and it has needs too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the dance between the formless, which is our heart, mind, our soul, or, you know, spirit, whatever you want to call it. But we have to have this little body of ours to even be here, you know? So it's the dance between the two. And I think it's the true marriage of both of them while we're here, that, and the awareness of what both need and giving what both need to each part,
mm-hmm.
but as partners, not as like I'm talking at my body or I'm thinking about my body, but you know, really partnering up with it, you know. And I think that's another piece of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of this, you know, everything that's happening right now in the climate, we're in such an interesting climate. I mean, we are so this story right now. Because we have it coming from all angles. We have it coming from the medical with the COVID. We have it coming from with all the interracial rest and injustice that's going on. And it's not that the COVID's newer, you know, to us, but
mm-hmm.
the injustice has been here for forever. But what's happening is we're finally letting it bubble up to the top, you
right.
know. So, and then, you know, there's the political things that are coming on right now. And in our country, we're gearing up for this election and all that, you know. And so there's so much that's literally just falling apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in the middle of it. And to be honest with you, we have been freaking out. We've
mm-hmm.
been being me in that story, you
right.
know. And it is, but what I love about the story is really, I don't know how he meant to write it, but I read it as well as with God, but I also see it as a conversation with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the higher self,
right.
and then there's me.
Right.
So there's me on there, and then God is also my higher self.
Right.
So if I, the art of becoming, see, changing is what they think they're doing, so they freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But becoming, that's the art of listening to both your higher self and then giving yourself what it needs.
I look at it as allowing.
Yes, 100%. Allowing. Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Allowance is the heart mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the
mind thinks and the heart allows, you know.
Right.
So it's really the dance in between the two for becoming.
Right.
But you know, that's what I loved. That's what I love about this time is it's there. I love this time this time, I think this time is incredible. And again, my caveat of all the bad things, but are hard things. But I love this time because we're really shaking it up. We're really saying, okay, we're slowly going back. What do we want to go back to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what when we're talking about the injustice and the unrest, what do we want to come to? What do we want to become? There's a lot of, we're like toddlers in a lot of ways right now because mm-hmm. there's a lot of areas where we go, oh, wait a minute. How do we want to experience this?
Right. You know, we've pulled ourselves up. Mm-hmm. Just like the toddler.
Yes.
We're taking our steps.
Yes.
We're a little unsteady.
We are. We're wobbly.
We're wobbly. What was the old toy?
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
So we're in that
wobbly.
I think we just
dated ourselves by that.
But, you know, we're here. And
yes.
So we're mm-hmm. looking around, much like, you know, a turtle that comes out of its shell.
Yes.
And so we're looking around and we're kind of going, wow. You know, the world is beautiful.
Yes.
But what can we do as individuals?
How do I want to experience this beautiful mm-hmm. world?
Right.
That's the question. And that's the piece that I think that the story also is beckoning to, is the mindset of going inward to the fullness instead of thinking it outwardly with the lack.
With the
lack.
You
know?
The pieces that are falling away,
yes.
they're not there anymore.
And I think there's just the beauty in being able to say, this is my world.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it looks like, this
mm-hmm.
is my world, good, bad, or ugly.
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to experience it? And I think that's where we're at right now as a universal place, as a collective conscious. I think we're questioning collectively, how do we want to experience things? And then individually, how do I want to experience things? And that's all part of becoming.
It is. It is. And if you are experiencing that, you know, like right now,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure anybody who listens to this show, you know,
mm-hmm.
is reflecting on how am I experiencing my life.
Sure.
I would want them to also ask, how can I contribute for the better? Because so many people are caught up in the anger and the resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the negative emotions.
Sure, that's all
lack. Is there a way that they can look at life as it exists right now and maybe figure out how can I contribute in a way that will bring joy, that will bring maybe some peacefulness, maybe some harmony, maybe, you know, bake a loaf of bread and take it to somebody and just say, I was thinking about you and I wanted you to have this.
And I think that's so important. And I also want to just say and put it out there that if you are going to your true heart and you are being authentic and saying, this is how I want to experience something, you will want to experience it in good.
Mm-hmm.
You will not go, I'd really like to have a really hard time right now. That's not, most of us don't say that.
Right.
So you'll want to experience it in good. And when you are in a place of good, it makes you just authentically, organically be kind to other people and
mm-hmm.
do things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a place where, yes, there's the planned things of the baking bread and all that you
mm-hmm.
can do because you're like, you know what? I really want to experience, you know, doing this. And so it makes me feel good to bake bread. So I'm going to bake bread like you, but that's you experiencing
right.
it, you
and
know,
you choose.
And you're choosing it, you know, but it also, when you're choosing to experience good, it makes you more content. And so therefore you give goodness to others. So you'll say, hey, can I take that shopping cart up for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or
hold
hey,
the door
can I hold the door for you, ma'am mm-hmm. or sir? Or what, you know, let me get up and give you my chair, sir, you know, because you look tired. Or like that is just something because you're deciding to experience as good. And so just innately you will connect energetically, innately, organically to others with good.
Well, there is another piece that I try to remind people of, is because we are vibrational frequency beings, when we're in the place of goodness,
mm-hmm.
you know, joy, happiness, we emit a different kind of vibrational frequency than if we're listening to, you know, maybe social medias, maybe we're listening to, I don't know, Fox News, CNN, but, you know, a message that is more angst, you know, by nature. And so when you are there, those frequencies that are coming off of you are quite different.
Yes, they are.
Than if you're in a positive place. 100%. And so many people don't quite get that. They're, they're finding themselves drawn to a negative station. You know, maybe it's talking about, you know, a recent hurricane. But, you know, they're looking at all of the just sadness and anger and things that are being shown on our social medias and television.
And I think we get so caught up in all of that, and we cannot undo sadness. We cannot undo darkness with anything but light.
But light.
That's the only thing we can do.
Right.
And if you go, I mean, I'm just not whistling Dixie here. I mean,
it's science.
This is science.
Yes.
Thank you. There are they can trace and measure this stuff.
Yes, they can.
If you go onto a bus and you have a higher vibrational frequency, you will just affect the people on that bus, but and not even say a word,
right.
Just simply by walking on.
Exactly.
You know, energetically, people will be like, I want to have what she's having. You know what I mean? I want a little of that, right?
Right.
And so that just raises their vibration and up and everything. So, yeah, there's not a word in our language that really says important enough. I mean, it's crucial. It's the thing. I mean, it is it, you know, to recognize your vibrations.
Right.
And we're all vibrational energy. That's
right.
All we are, you know? And
well, when I wrote my book, you've read it now, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I love it.
So
y'all need to buy it.
When I wrote that, you know, I had somebody read it the other day that is in her early 50s, and she bought it just because she was a friend, but she called me, and she said, I could not put it down.
Aww.
So a lot of people that look at it as a children's book, it really isn't.
It's going to be for anyone,
the message
age.
Is there just to help people understand that we do create our realities with our thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's done in a message form that children can relate to, because I wanted the message to start there. If we don't start it with kids, it's much harder.
Well, but you know what I loved about it, too? And I understand what you're saying about you wanted it to be with kids and all of that. But I just, what I loved about it was, yes, it's written for kids, but the energy was playful. So you're delivering a message that has some thinking to do with it. You know what I mean? But it's a playful way of delivery. And that is a higher vibration. And so people, when you hold it and open it and start looking at the pictures and just start interacting with it, it just in that way, you're already starting to raise the vibrational energy. Then you read it and it's playful, and so that, you know, heightens the vibrational energy. So I think, yeah, it's great for kids, but what I liked about it is I don't even want to call it a children's book. I want to call it a playful book.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's for everybody.
It is.
It's for everybody. And it's playful. And what adult doesn't want to be playful?
That's very true.
And why? Because it's a high vibration. So
and
I'll have me some of what she's having, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when we do play, and most adults don't take the time to play.
No.
But when we do play, whether it's going to the petting zoo or maybe it's going and playing jacks. Do you remember playing jacks as a kid?
I loved playing jacks.
Yeah.
I was pretty good.
Hopscotch.
I loved hopscotch.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean,
Holly always beat me at hopscotch, though.
Really?
Yeah. If Holly's listening, she always beat me, and I'll never forget it. But anyways, go ahead.
No, but I do think, I mean, Christmas cookies. You know, when everybody's in the kitchen and, you know, you eat a little cookie dough and you're talking and you're just having fun.
Yes.
But there are so many experiences that are playful and fun.
Yes.
And we are so serious by the time we hit adulthood because of all the things that we have to do, you know, to run a home, take care of kids, pay the bills, that we lose sight of that. We lose the fun. I did a workshop.
And we can think of fun in any way.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be play.
No.
Well, go ahead, your workshop.
I did a workshop with a friend a number of years ago, and we had water guns. And we chased each other around with water guns. And it's just, it's a fun thing, you know, that we remember doing
mm-hmm.
as a, maybe a child,
mm-hmm.
but we don't think about it so much as doing it as adults.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I was in graduate school, there was one of my instructors that had, do you remember the big rubber, well, it wasn't rubber, it was like a bat, but it was soft.
Mm-hmm.
And they let kids use them to get their aggression out.
Oh, yeah, I remember
in a safe way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he chased me because he wanted me to understand that it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
So he chased me around, you know, hitting me with this. And at first, I was like, what are you doing?
Right.
And then I did get angry because
sure.
I didn't like being hit.
Get up off me, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he had given me one. And so then I was like, okay.
It's on.
And he said, that's what I want. I want you to get in touch
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
you know, that part of you that is angry at something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think getting in touch with any aspect of our feelings.
Oh,
and we, you know, we bury so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to have these feelings. It's not okay to have
And not only do we bury them, but... you know, we can redefine them as well.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I literally just on my Instagram wrote something yesterday about that, the forgotten message is what I called it.
Okay.
And it's, I had read on someone else's post, they had said, I hate that feeling you get in your gut when you know something's going wrong, or something's going to go wrong.
Okay.
And it immediately struck me, and I started thinking, you know, I used to hate that feeling too. Until one day when I recognized that that feeling is there to guide me, just
mm-hmm.
like all the others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's there to make me actually live a joyous life.
Right.
And I was taking all of those, what we want to call negative emotions and feelings, and I was putting them in a filing cabinet and shutting the door and locking it, you know. But the reality of it is they're there just as much as happiness and joy and laughter to help me live a joyous life. And so I recognize they have a message for me. They are my friends too. And so I get to listen to them.
So if you were having kind of that solar plexus
mm-hmm.
icky feeling,
mm-hmm.
so how would that help you live a joyous life? I'm curious.
Well, simply because I go, okay, this person, like, okay, I'm talking with an individual and
mm-hmm.
I get a icky feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have that icky feeling, perhaps I would engage longer, or I would talk more, or I'd set up another time, which would lead me down a path that would make it not joyous.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling is there.
It's
to
a warning.
Say, yeah, well, it's all of them are warnings. All of them are warnings. Happiness is a warning. It's
mm-hmm.
hey, you're gonna have happiness. Look out, you know. It's this is gonna make you mad. Look out, you know. It's all, but it's just we have not enjoyed those warnings. So we think of a negative thing when we say the word warning, you know. But it's telling me positive that I, you know, this is not someone that you necessarily jive with, that you need to be with. So go over here.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna help me live a joyous life too.
Okay. All right. So I see where you're going with that. Because I like the idea that we're being guided.
100%.
And
always.
So if the guide is saying, you know, if you want more of this, continue down this road.
Sure. It's always
then,
a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Uh-huh.
But with a person that maybe is not in your best interest
yes.
because it stirs up anger or
yes.
anxiety,
yes.
you know, then if you
or
want
you
more,
just get a sense that this is just a person
yeah.
I don't need to be around.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And I think we all have those individuals in our lives.
We do. We
so
do.
Whether it's at work or maybe a family member even.
100% it can be.
Yeah, we can choose.
We
can choose.
You can choose
all the time.
And you can, and because see, the thing of it, the reason why I say they're meant to help us live a joyous life is because that's what we are meant to do.
Yes.
We are meant to be in joy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why we use the word enjoy, E-N-J-O-Y. It's
okay.
really
I-N,
joy.
Joy.
Like, you know.
You know, that's true.
It's
I had never
in
thought about that.
Joy.
Yeah.
You know, so like I always just giggle and say, you know, because like if I was Southern and I said, I'm just sitting here enjoying myself.
Enjoy.
You say it with the Southern accent, it's enjoy in myself.
That's
I'm sitting
true.
Here in joy in myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting here enjoying myself.
you know?
How
and
fun.
Yeah, and so when it is fun, and so when you have those negative, like we want to call them,
mm-hmm.
warning signs or whatever that come up,
mm-hmm.
it's just another part that's helping you realize, okay, that my friend is not really going to give me joy, so let's
mm-hmm.
go over here,
mm-hmm.
and so that's helping you to live a joyous life,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that's all part of becoming. It's listening to ourselves. When we have these internal dialogues or these internal messages come up, rather.
You know, and another aspect of this, as far as like COVID-19 and where
mm-hmm.
we are at this moment, as we look at evolving into a joyous person.
Yes.
A lot of people are looking at their jobs right now.
Oh,
and
yes.
they're going, you know what? This is not who I am. It's not who I want to be.
Yes.
And maybe I can make it with less money.
Yes.
And I need to find a different career so I can live in joy.
Yes.
So that
yes.
has been an interesting aspect.
And so see, there's another beautiful thing that's come
mm-hmm.
from COVID is it's
mm-hmm.
really paused us.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't stopped us. It's
no.
paused us.
Right.
I use the word stop and I'm just realizing, no, it's really just paused us because
mm-hmm.
again, it's all about flow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think just being able to get to a place where we can quiet our minds and go to our hearts and say, okay, yes, I choose that, or no, I don't choose that. That's just all part of becoming. And we can, and the other thing that I want to stress too is we're so used to labels and defining and boundaries and limitations. You know what? This is a world of complete and utter magic. We can create anything we want to create here, you know? So we can redefine our job. Maybe I actually love this part of my job, but not so much this part. Or maybe this is what makes my job hard. So we can redefine our jobs. We can redefine our roles. We're never boxed in. We're never trapped. When we feel trapped, it's a play from the mind.
Right.
We're never trapped. And that's part of becoming. This is all part of becoming. I mean, literally, in my belief, we came to this plane, to this planet, to
become. Right.
We are infinite beings. And we're learning how to have a finite experience.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Tels Dalka says that all the time.
Right.
And it's so true.
And how would you define, for somebody who maybe didn't get to hear Tessa's show,
sure.
what is a finite experience?
Well, a finite experience is just what the word would say. It's finite. It has limitations. It
mm-hmm.
has
so we can't float
boundaries.
Around.
Yes, there's things that we have to do with
mm-hmm.
it. You know, if you want to go a little spiritual, when you leave your body, your soul can go and do whatever it wants. But when it pops down into this little flubber suit that we got going on down here, then it can't do that anymore. We are stationed here in this body until I leave it. So this body
mm-hmm.
gives me my
finite. Mm-hmm.
And then I was not finite when I jumped into this body.
Right.
I was infinite. I could do anything. I could be anything. I could go anywhere, you know? But I jumped into this finite. And one of the things Tess and I were talking about at one time, and I kind of thought about it, and she was like, wow, that's so true. You know, within the word, it's so incredible. Within the word infinite is finite.
Mm-hmm.
It's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so it's literally what we are. We are that word. So it's not that we've come here to figure out how to be a spirit or how to be a spiritual person or any of that. We're coming here already knowing all of that. We're coming here trying to learn how to be an individual, but within limitations. And so it's all about becoming. It's the whole reconnection. We are who we are. We jump into our physical apparatus, and the rest of our born days, we're trying to get back to who we are again. It's all becoming.
And if you're really moving back to who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, as this infinite person,
right,
with all kinds of capabilities,
potential,
yeah,
yeah.
then I guess I believe that as we become,
mm-hmm.
you know, that person. That is the joy that we take with us.
Yes.
That is what other people experience around us.
Yes.
they feel it in a very real way, like when you were talking about getting on the bus.
Yes.
And those people that would say, I'll have what she's
having.
Having.
Yes, yes.
I think when Harry met Sally.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. That's perfect. Yes, so, yes.
Yeah, so it's so utterly miraculous that we can do this.
Yes.
And maybe that is, you know, COVID-19 worldwide has caused everybody to come to a pause, as you said.
Yes.
So that we can stop and look and listen.
Yes.
And we've stopped listening until recently. Now we're listening again, and we're hearing what Mother Earth says she needs. We're hearing what other people, as real living, you know, individual beings, what they really need. And
well, and that's the validation mm-hmm. of the pause. Because mm-hmm. when we pause, you said, when we pause, we started listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, when we actually truly started listening energetically, mm-hmm. what happened was the energy said, yes, they're listening. I have got something to say. And the doors flopped open and it all started pouring out, you know.
Yeah.
But that's validation. People will look at that and be like, oh, God, this is such a crazy time. It's a validating time
right.
because we stopped to listen. And now people are talking that need to be heard.
Yes.
You know, and we're starting to listen and care. It's a whole new playing field. And we would not have... I personally don't believe we would have got here collectively as quickly
had it not been
for COVID.
Right. And it had to be worldwide.
Yes.
If it was only in one or two countries,
yes.
we would have looked and we
sure.
would have said, oh, that's so sad.
Especially as Americans.
Right. But
yes.
now that it's everywhere
yeah.
and people
We're
have died
to
everywhere,
look at it.
We are
it's
forced.
In our face.
Right.
There is no turning away from it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So fascinating that... You know, and with Neil Donald Walsh, you know, saying what he
mm-hmm.
did in this little piece,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether this was just created by him or whether it's something that has been out there for a while, but it's now become meaningful.
Yes, I think it's always meaningful, and I think it's just really spot on
mm-hmm.
right now.
It is.
It's
it
just
is.
Really spot on because there's mass reevaluation. There's mass
mm-hmm.
freak out.
And it's being done on an individual level,
mm-hmm.
but it's also being done on a family level
yeah.
and on a business level.
All levels.
Yeah. State,
all levels.
Nation.
State, nation, country, universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's all levels that are being affected by this beautiful pause.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, because Tess does communicate with angels.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the angels are telling her, yay, I'm glad that, you know.
You know, and I don't want to give away her secrets or
mm-hmm.
anything like
right,
that, but this
right.
is something you should talk to her about because
okay.
they, I will just say to you, they did say something about a virus.
Did they?
Yes, they will. And I know, but I'm not going to say it because that's her show. Yeah, but they did. They did. They said something to her about a virus.
Before it happened.
Way before it happened.
Wow.
Well, not way, but not two A's, just one A in the word way.
Uh-huh.
Not like way, but way before it happened.
So probably a year or less.
I would say probably about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, less, a little less than a year, but yeah. So it's and again, you know, the caveat, because you're always going to have those people who have been touched by it in
mm-hmm.
a very hard, traumatic way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we put that out there and we put the love and the peace all around all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on the other flip side of it, because
mm-hmm.
there's always two sides to a pancake, you know? And so we've got that one side and then the other side is it has been a beautiful pause. And for those, you know, and it just hit me right now. I I'm kind of speaking a little out of turn because I did not lose a loved one to COVID. I did not lose myself to COVID. But I would think if I lost myself or a loved one to something that didn't make sense to me, I would at least want some type of purpose to come out of it.
Right.
And so to think that this has been a beautiful pause, your loved one didn't die completely in vain,
mm-hmm.
I think that could be an interesting message.
Now, one of the things Greg Braden said when I was listening to him yesterday
mm-hmm.
is that he doesn't talk about it as a pause, but he said, do you love yourself
mm-hmm.
well enough to look at what you can do, you know, on an individual
mm-hmm.
level to come through this a better person?
Yes.
And part of it is health and wellness.
100%.
And so, you know, if we are pre-diabetic or diabetic, if we're overweight, if we're not exercising, if we don't have sufficient sleep or it's not quality sleep, what are the things that you can do to begin to change that part? Because when you're feeling better, healthy, then, you know, again, that vibrational frequency that we all have goes up several notches.
It does.
If we are dragging ourselves around because we don't feel well, then it's very hard to help others feel better too.
And I do a lot in with the chronic illness population right now due to my brain damage that I had, you know, a while back, and some of the things that it left me. I do deal with some chronic illness issues as well. And you know, that's one of the hardest things for the chronically ill is, you know, you spoke before about having a health thing like a broken hip or something like that. You know, in those situations, it's still a, you know, a traumatic experience. However, there is a new normal in a way that you can move past and you can talk about it in past tense. And with the chronically ill, there really isn't a past tense to speak of. It's still a current. It's a daily situation that that they, that I, that we deal with. And, you know, it's just so much more important. Well, take the word more out. It's equally as important for people in the chronic illness community to raise their vibrational energy. And I think that we have a beautiful gift, because a lot of times when you get over an illness or a traumatic time or whatever, when you really truly are over it and past it, it's kind of easy to forget what you've learned and kind of go back to normal.
Right.
But for us in the chronically ill community, it's a daily reminder of the low, you know? And I think it's, you know, going back to the whole thing of becoming, that's why I'm bringing this up, and the gifts that things can give us, like this pause and, and changing our mindset. You know, it's just another example of we have to do what we have to do to handle the situation, but is that really what's important to us? No, that's not, in a lot of ways. It's, what's important to us is, just like anybody else, we want to feel good, we want to look good, we want to be good, you know? And so raising your vibrational energy, you know, daily, and being reminded daily about vibrational energy, because it's easy not to think about it when you're just going about and you're feeling yourself, you know, but when you're not, you know, we're daily reminded of it. And I just think, I think it's a gift too.
Well, you know, and that's where affirmations, you know, play a role, I think, in somebody's life, is people that I'm aware of that have had health problems and that begin to take charge of their health by changing small habits on a daily basis. You know, cutting down maybe on sugar drinks, sodas. I had to laugh the other day. I was in the car, and there was an ad that came on about Mountain Dew. And I know how addictive that can be, because my son was addicted literally to, I don't know, he was drinking an inordinate amount of Mountain Dew once upon a time. I don't think he does anymore, but you know, he was drinking a lot of it. So, you know, changing, maybe not having cookies in the house, maybe not, you know, doing the sodas as often, but also adding things like affirmations or walking around the block with the dogs or doing a little meditation, but things that can begin to raise that frequency on this side of the scale and leaving behind some of the behaviors that, it's like, you know, the Neil Diamond, Donald Walsh part, but just, you know, letting go of some of those things that don't serve you well anymore, and substituting those that can help raise that frequency.
Sure, sure, absolutely. I think that's all part of becoming.
It is. It
all
is
part of becoming. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, we are at the end of our show already.
Wow,
it goes by very, very quickly.
It does.
I love having you here because it's such fun to talk about all of these concepts and how it can make a difference in somebody's life.
Thank you. I love being here.
So, all right.
I love being in joy with you.
Enjoy. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone who missed Tara's show, please have them go to synergyconnectionradio.com. Her show will be at the very top of the list under show notes. And so that's where we archive all of these different shows over the last couple of years. And we're coming up on show number 100 in the very, very near future now. Also, probably within the next month for sure, We are going to be on national podcast, and so it will be on Spotify and iHeartRadio, and just I think there's like three or four major networks that are going to be carrying it. So, and anybody who has not seen my book, if you go to www.missmiss.com, it will take you right into the website, and the link is in there to go to Amazon as well if you're interested in reading some of the excerpts from it or ordering it. I think it's a great gift to give anybody at any age. So again, thank you very much for being my guest. We'll see you, soon. I think you're coming back in December.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Go out there and make it a beautiful day, everyone. It can be your best life. And do think about becoming who you are meant to be. Thank you again. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.